Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. Jeffrey at Jeffrey TV coming to you live on Memorex. Default location, default route. It feels like a Monday. It feels like a very refreshing Monday. I had a 3-day weekend. I indulged. Full disclosure. And the reason I say full disclosure is because this is something that I may or may not be proud of. Something that I may or may not, a behavior pattern in which I wish I didn't have, but the black and miles. I had them black and miles this weekend, but I waited till the weekend. I smoked 7.5 of them between Saturday to Monday night. Like I said, I don't do too much in moderation. But fortunately or unfortunately, it very obviously helped me with my eating. 208.4 is what Mr. Scale told me this morning. And that may be the lowest Tuesday since 2023. I don't think I had a Tuesday at 208.4. No, I take that back. It was last night. I don't think I had a Monday night at 209.6. I went to bed at 209.6 last night. I don't think I had a Monday night since 2023, I actually checked. I went through all the week, I actually checked. So I'm just assuming that this morning way is very encouraging, to say the least. I'm very happy about it. Especially after a 3-day weekend. My God, and yesterday, I hit the point where I was in the bed, I was feeling this way, feeling that way. I had a black and mild before I hit a black and mild before I got out of bed, just to get that kind of woozy and stimulation on my nervous system or my metabolism, just kind of bring me back down. I'm just laying in the bed, thinking about what food I got. Even gave myself permission not to get my 10,000 steps. Then I'm laying in the bed, starting to feel lazy, starting to feel but you know, just watching TV, watching inauguration, just, you know, really good chill mood, just in a pretty good place, pretty good relaxing place. Other than, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, am I going too much? Am I going to ruin this, the momentum that I have as far as my weight and stuff? You know, what's it going to feel like? Am I going to get too lazy? Am I going to get sluggish? Blah, blah, blah. But, of course, I always think of things. I got it in my mind. Yeah. You know, we ain't gonna worry about getting our steps. We do, we do, we don't. Whatever. Because we can take a day off. It's okay. Doctors recommend that. So I got up, threw on some clothes. We got a pizza. We got a pizza and some chips. That's all I needed. Because I already had cookies and cheese Danish. So I was set. Wasn't too much. Wasn't too little. So I just got a take and bake pizza from Ralph's, which, not as good as they used to be, for sure. Not as good as they used to be. Not as good as they used to be, for whatever reason. But I ate it. Felt good. Ate it. Felt good. And then start messing around. My latest project that I got, I believe, Saturday night or whatever night that was. Could have been Friday night because I wasn't here Friday night. Saturday night, I guess. I went to Ace Hardware and got some plastic sheeting that I used to cover up the patio door to see if that would stop the draft that I was feeling in there. So that was kind of a fun thing. So I got up, spent way too much on plastic sheeting, and got some thumbtacks, and just, you know, kind of tinkered around with that. So, you know, there was some movement. And let me just say this, though. After I got the pizza yesterday and the chips, I got sour cream and onion. Dude, cheddar and sour cream. Sour cream, cheddar. You know, the orange ruffle chips. The ones with the orange ruffle. I got those. And a pizza. That's all I got. Oh. And I think a pack of Black and Milds. Which I am not proud of. But that's what I got. I went back home. You know, and I ate. And I got to that place. I'm watching the inauguration. You know, the pompous circumstance of the whole transition to power in the United States. Seeing all our leaders in the Capitol, wherever they were, you know, doing the transition to power to Donald Trump. And I was kind of tickled to be political and atheistic commentary. I was tickled towards that direction. I was like, oh, you know what? I think I got a few things to say about what's going on. But that feeling passed. But it's there. My feelings about Trump. Well, my feelings about Trump are what they are. But what gets me most is how many people out there say, I can't watch him, I'm turning it off. You know, we're doomed. You know, it's over. You know, we're doomed. He's going to wreck the country. They're laughing at us, blah, 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 blah. And watch his inauguration, his speech to the inauguration. You know, I didn't get that. I mean, I get why people do it, because obviously they hate him. I mean, people just literally hate him. And there's more than a few in my timeline because of the affiliation that I've acquired over the years. P-Funk fans, music fans, whatever. More liberal, almost to the point of Santa Cruz hippie, ultra liberal, anything goes, kind of, you know, kill the government, tear it down, that kind of thing. And I get it. A lot of them were saying, you know, they ain't gonna watch this. I ain't watching this. They don't want to watch it. I get it, you know. But to me, it's also history. You can't turn yourself off to news and history. I mean, you just can't. I mean, you can do whatever you want to. And when I say you can't, what I really was saying is I can't. I can't. I can't turn myself off. That's what I'm gonna start saying. I can't turn myself off to news and history. It's historic. The Mississippi State marching band played. You know, there's a controversy. Snoop Dogg playing the inaugural ball, Nelly and Rick Ross, whoever played, and people talking about cancel them, they sell out, coons and all that. You know, I just don't see it that way. And even if I did, I don't think I could, actually. Well, my loyalties, kind of goes along another line. My loyalties to anything aren't usually that strong to trigger a reaction. Say, like, if so-and-so did something, it may hurt in a few occasions, but it won't be tragic. I don't place that much faith or belief in probably anything. to where it can really do damage to my psyche. At least I don't think. At least as far, I don't think I'm attached to anything to the point that where it would trigger me. Well, I get triggered, take that back. But it would be devastating or you know, overwhelming if something like changed, like the relationship ended or they were to say something off the wall or whatever. I'm at a point now, especially now, that where, you know, I'm just out of here. So to sit there and watch Donald Trump do the inauguration, you know, it didn't bother me. Because I wanted to hear what he had to say. This was history. I want to hear his plans. If anything, I want to know as much about what he's doing as I can. Either way, I mean, if I was to be vested, and I'm not vested, I'm more interested. I don't really care. And let's just say that too. I don't really care enough about anything for it to matter. So if you like looking at me or say like you wonder if I say something off the wall or this or that, please remember, I don't care about you or anybody enough for you to take what I say seriously. That's a rough way to put it, but that's pretty much it. You know, I just don't care enough for you to take anything I say that seriously. You know, let's call it like that. You know? Let's just call it like that. You shouldn't be offended by anything I say, because I really don't care. What I say shouldn't matter enough to hurt your feelings. And if it does, that's on you. There's something going on with you and what you believe. So, there's somebody up here with dogs. Got his two little dogs. Let's just put one on a leash. Put them on a leash now. You know how my dogs running around. They got such things as those kind of regulations and whatnot for a reason. And I just want to stick with the regulation. You know, there's a leash law. You know, they're well-behaved dogs. I ain't worried about getting bit or nothing. You know, I just don't want to be put in a position having to kick one because it came over to smell me or play with me. Man, why you make me punt your dog? So, I'm watching the inauguration. President Trump pretty much stuck to the script. You know, I was impressed by how aggressive he was, how determined, non-apologetic he was. I like that kind of arrogance or ego or whatever. People who stand up and say what they believe, F everybody else. This is what's going to happen. This is where we're going, you know, just go at it, balls out, it's mine. You know, if you want to stop it, come on. Fourth down, 1 yard to go, let's line up. If you can stop me, you stop me. If you can't, you can't. But I ain't gonna apologize for it. He laid out some very aggressive stuff. He talked very aggressively, and what struck me was that the speech was written. He was definitely following the teleprompter. It was definitely written. So a team got together and wrote that for him. So it wasn't just him, you know what I mean? It wasn't just him thinking of stuff. His team and his staff vetted that speech, and this is what they wanted out there. And it wasn't subtle. It was mannerly, and for the most part, presidential. But it may have pulled a punch or two, just for the sake of the ceremony and the situation. But if you listen closely, whoo, and that's what I got out of it. So I watched that, you know, and it was, you know, cool. And I even posted on my Facebook, you know, that I was watching it. And then in the comments I put, I get it. If for whatever reason you didn't watch it, please don't virtue signal it here. We understand. And I said, thanks in advance. Because you know everybody's going to say, I ain't watching that thing. I ain't watching it. I ain't watching it. I'm not watching it. You know. I was like, I cut that off early. Because you know somebody's going to say it. And then, you know, after I ate, I'm feeling kind of good watching inauguration, whatever. You know, it's kind of mulling around the house, doing the, oh, doing this, doing that. Woo! Doing this, doing that. And then he got to the Capitol Center for his rally or whatever. You know, all the MAGA people there, and the celebration where he can go off script and say what he want to say. That fool crazy. I see why people scared of him. And he should be. If you don't agree with his politics and you feel threatened by him, you should be scared shitless. If you don't agree with him and you feel he the devil, Satan, Antichrist, or whatever, woo, that man is a fool. And of course, I love it. Because Jeffrey Scott Mitchell going to do what Jeffrey Scott Mitchell got to do anyway, no matter who in the White House. But he start talking, saying stuff about folks, saying this and saying that. Everything they do is going to be the best ever in history. Everything the Biden administration did was the worst in history. Biden then was devastating. It just went on and on and on. He was just saying stuff. Just talking shit. Talk up plenty of shit. Now see, if it was in a non-presidential situation, and we kind of, you know, like to hold our presidents up to a certain guideline or whatever, I understand, you know, his demeanor and his manner and the protocol was definitely not presidential. But if you're sitting around playing cards, talking smack with your family, even with your family, you know, that's how we roll. Because it wasn't like he was cussing or anything. He was just saying some stuff. It was crap. It was all crap. Totally terrible. Worst ever. In fact, you know what? Not one of the worst. The Biden administration was the worst administration ever. And he just, can you imagine that? He pardoned people while I was speaking. He just went on and on. You know, unscripted, just full on. Now that part, I definitely can understand people who don't like Trump or don't agree with his politics. I definitely understand why they wouldn't want to watch that. I can definitely understand why, you know, they didn't want to see that. That was, but then again, me, it's news. I got to see it. I want to know all the news. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what my enemy has planned, what he's thinking, what he's putting out there. I'm not one to cut myself off from too much of anything. But then again, I'm at probably a different point in my life than a lot of people. than most human beings, as far as confidence, foundation, assuredness, experience, and all that. I'm not pressed, you know what I mean? I'm not pressed. And if I was, I'd react and handle it. And it wouldn't be by putting my head in the sand and not watching. You know, some people say they're nauseated, they can't stand it, they can't take it. I agree, because I was listening to them, had me laughing. I was laughing almost, not at him, because I already know it's a tactic. I know what he's, it's just the style and what he's doing. We're just not used to a president doing that. But the majority of American people elected him. So that's what our country decided we wanted. Our country decided, hey, that's what we want as president. By what people are saying is an overwhelming majority. So I don't know. I don't know. I just know it's a show. It's going to be a show. And he got his people in place. And it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And they're going to do some good and they're going to do some bad, whatever good and bad means to you or me. Because it's different for different people. Your good ain't the next man's good. And I hope y'all understand that. Just because you think it's bad, everybody don't. And not only that, if you think Trump's bad, the majority of the country you live in doesn't think so. For whatever reason. So, I kind of wanted to touch on that. And I think I did pretty well. I did, you know, I wasn't too antagonistic or gaslighting or whatever. I also wanted to talk on the uptick of religiosity, display of God and Jesus. Well, it's, well, in sports, you know, players are doing their interviews. That's just an indication, I think, of a trend, you know, with the Ten Commandments back in the classroom, and Trump talking about how much he loved God and God, religion. In fact, he said, first comes God. Trump was just talking, he just be talking. I mean, you can't take everything he says seriously. He's like the Bible. You can't take it word for word, literally. First he said, yeah, first comes God, God comes first, and then religion. Yeah, then you got your religion. And then love. Whoa. I guess love comes third. yeah, I mean, he's just having a good time saying stuff. And because I'm not threatened by him, it's amusing. It's entertaining and amusing. Am I worried he's going to blow up the world? No. Am I worried he's going to wreck America? No. But it's going to be fun. And I'm betting a lot of the changes that he wants to make will eventually make America better. A lot of stuff they want to put in will eventually make America better. Now, he may have all these billionaires and stuff around him making decisions this way, that way. And a lot of people think, you know, they're going to act in their best interest. You know, it's the rich just want to keep getting richer. I think that might be too simplistic. I think that might be too simplistic of a take to just consider all the people he has around him as cutthroat, money only, don't care about nobody but themselves kind of people. You know, some of them might be. I'm not saying all of them ain't. I'm just saying to probably just put that out there, just across the board. All rich people want to take all the money and leave the poor people with nothing. You know, I don't think it's quite that simple and straightforward. But it's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun ride. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be a fun ride. Fun to watch. And I'm interested in seeing how it changes, just the deep changes. You know, I'm conservative to a degree, but I get excited when there's like major changes or a major shift and the result of it. You know, going through it and seeing the result of it, because he's talking about doing some stuff. And I do think there's a lot of fat in government. I do think a lot of it does need to be taken out. The DEI stuff needs to go. I agree with that. He said he made it to national statement that there are only two genders. Just, you know, I mean, when I was doing Occupy and I guess a liberally, whatever's the word, I think this is like a funny word. I mean, a word that people who are like super liberally or whatever, you know, that stuff would kind of get to me. It would trigger me. I was not threatened by it, but it put me off. Like infringing on liberties, this and that. Especially when I was, you know, on the atheistic front about God and how they were trying to regulate speech, what you could say and think, as far as God and religion and having to pray and do all this and do all that, when I didn't believe, you know. I was concerned about that. Now, not so much. Because progress and strides have been made and progress has been made. So, I find this situation as threatening as a lot of people may. And it's quite possible, it's a very good possibility, I just don't care about the state of humanity like a lot of people do. I don't feel for the state of humanity or other people, or maybe even have empathy or sympathy for other people. Well, I definitely don't have it as much as some other people. There's no doubt about it. I'm thinking I might have like a below average amount. Because remember, I'm the guy who said, all right, so what happens if we lose Houston? It's like Houston just falls in the ocean. What happens? I mean, what is the peril or You know, how, what kind of impact is that going to have on life in the long run? Well, not in the long run. Or just, you know, I just made a general question idea. I mean, I know doggone well with these Houston, that catastrophe that size, you know, come on. It's going to be havoc. No, not only havoc, but it's going to have an impact on America. Far reaching. You know, the ports. You know, what Houston does and supplies to, you know, the world, and I guess the space program, NASA, I mean, mission control, all that, you know, there'll be stuff like that. But you could say, what if every, I don't know why I picked Houston. What if everybody in Houston just disappeared? What if everybody in Houston just disappeared? What impact would that have? And it's devastating, it's catastrophe. You know, it would send chills through my body. Even me, I would, you know, I would be upset. I would be nervous. I don't know if I'd be upset, but I'd be nervous. It would definitely, you know, trigger. I would definitely react to it. I mean, it's just something major, catastrophe. I would definitely be affected by it. But I guess I was thinking in terms of how we want to save everybody and everything. You know, individual, on the individual level. So I'm asking, well, what if we lose like a whole major metropolitan city? What is the impact? Versus, well, not even versus losing one or two people on the street to homelessness or whatever. You know, just to have the scenario as a game, as a test project or hypothetical game to go through the exercise, hypothetical exercise. I mean, I just think we'll get through it. I know we'll get through it. Somebody or something will. Life is too tenacious. Life is gonna survive one way or the other. The diversity of life helps to be sure that that's gonna happen. And I think that's a good thing. I celebrate it, in fact. Like, I'm glad we got people like you. I'm also glad I'm not one of them. We need what you do. Thankful for it. But not me. I ain't the one. I am not the one. And just like you would look at my life and think, how does he live that way? How could he, you know, what is he? Wow, he can go, he does all by himself and travel by himself and, you know. I got friends and family around me. At a distance. Some closer than others. I mean, because there's some families that, you know, they see and talk to each other every day. 2-3 times a day, all day long. And then there's some structures of family where that's needed, you know, to help family members. There's structural and functional reasons behind that. And it's just something, just they're just that close. You know, just want to talk and be that close. Not me. That's why these 3 days I had to myself, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, seemed to go so damn fast. Seemed like it flew by. I'm back out here walking again. Waiting for the next one. It also could be that I'm thinking more and more about retirement, probably. I'm probably thinking more and more about retirement, but God knows. When I retire, I gotta have a plan or a schedule. I would have to have something to fill that time. Not only that time, but that respect, that thing in my life that the job has, the respect I have for it. It gets me out of bed. Remember, I'm the guy who believes I can do anything I want. And if I don't want to get up and go to work, I don't. And that's true. But the respect I have for this job, even after 10 years, is still so high, it gets me out of bed. There were jobs I had where I couldn't get out of bed. It got to the point I could not. It was jobs where I walk up to work, as soon as I touch the door, open the door, doom and dread, like a depression. Metabolism just dropped down. I remember it was a JPL. I was going in there. I wouldn't touch the door. When I walked in, I was like, oh God. It just came down on me. I was like, oh. But there's also the relief of getting out of a job like that. The relief. Once you lose your first or second job, once you get laid off once or twice or fired, and you realize that, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You get to the point where you ask it to get laid off. Army Corps of Engineers. I went to my boss. Said, I'm done. Please let me go, so I can get unemployment. I can't quit, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I can't do any more here. And that was so cool with everybody. It was like, okay. Kicked me down, sent me on my way. Same way with Artists and Entertainment. Kicked me down, sent me on my way. Not Internal Revenue Service, not so much. IRS, I think I was there for 2 years, doing more and the best work out of anybody in my department. Getting paid probably 1/3 of what everybody else was getting paid. Busting my ass, but I enjoyed it. And they let me go. And I kind of let them go, they let me go. Because I said, I'm taking a month off. Go with my father back home. Spend some time with him in Ohio. And they let me go. And I wasn't upset. I very wasn't upset. That was September 2014. December 2014. I got the job I got now. The best job I ever had in my life. Bar none. 10 years later. The job I got now used to be perfect. It's not perfect anymore. It needs some work. I should get in there and help. Help with that work. I should pitch in. Lend my energy and expertise or experience, be a part of this solution to get my department back to where it should be. But I'm 62 years old. I'm looking more towards the end than I am towards the middle or the beginning, being in it and being involved. Am I coasting? Somewhat. Somewhat. How many years I gotta go? 7 years. 5 months. About 7 years and 5 months. Before I hit 70. And that's Social Security. Full retirement. But, you know, some say 67. So that'll be 4 years. So we start getting up that 67, 68. Because I like working. I like working enough to like it. I love my job. I love the job. I love the place of employment. I love the people. I love my career. Do I love the job? Do I love my job? I love what I do. I love having the job. I can't say that I love my job because there's probably something I could do there that would probably be more challenging, more engaging. More stimulating. But it's not that I hate my job. More inspiring. It's probably something I can do there after 2 years that's more inspiring. But I'm cool. I'm cool, you know, I'm cool. I guess that's the only way I'm cool with it, you know. I got no complaints. I got no complaints. Well, no complaints might be a strong way to put it. But, no, I don't got no complaints. I don't got no complaints. I don't. I don't have any complaints about my job. If I do have a complaint about my job, that falls back on me. That falls back on something I need to accomplish or that I need to change. That's just the way to put it. That falls back on something that's on me, or something that I need to change, something I need to adjust, something I need to go for, something I need to get together and fix and or correct. The opportunity is there. Everything I want is that job. Is at that job. I can get it. Just about anything. Anything and everything. Opportunity, money, benefits, everything. The only thing holding me back at that job is me. And I know this. And sometimes I think I should energize myself, get more into it, put more into it to get more out of it, etc. And also I'm thinking about flying to Chicago for the Peak Funk show. I'm also thinking about flying to Chicago for the Peak Funk show. Flying from Cleveland to Chicago. price is kind of high. The flight, it's like $361 for an hour, 2.5 hour flight. I ain't used to paying that kind of money. Hell, I didn't pay that money that much. I don't pay that much money to fly across the country from LA to. But I might be within a 2 week window. I don't know. But I might do it anyway. It's gonna be cold. And the reason I would want to do Chicago, because it's at the House of Blues. I think I'm gonna do it. Because it's at the House of Blues. And it's general admission. So I think I'm gonna do it. They want $361 round trip. And I can afford it, and I can make it fit my schedule and not be too disruptive. And it won't be that uncomfortable, especially for $361. The flight times, I mean, I'll have to be there like, save $100. I can get one for $262. That flight leaves at 7 a.m. and I get to Chicago at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And the show ain't until 7 o'clock that night. And checking in at the hotel ain't until like 3 p.m. You know, et cetera, et cetera. All this save $100. See what I mean? So I might just do that. I might just do that. Cause P-Funk only got 3 shows slated. They only got 3 shows. I think the 4th, the 6th, and the 8th or something like that. Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland. I got my ticket for the Cleveland show. Definitely going to that one. Front row. Way off to the side, but still front row. So, I think I just talked myself in. I need to go to Chicago. I need to be there. So I think I'm going to make it happen. In fact, I might even do it before I get home. Leave at 4, get to Chicago like 4:34. Would like to get there a little earlier though, so we'll see. I'll look at other flights and see. I don't want to get there until 7 o'clock in the morning, having to be at Cleveland Airport. Like 8 in the morning, 6 in the morning, or something like that. I think the flight leaves at 7 because I like to be at the airport at 5. That means getting up. Leaving at 3:30, you know. Yeah, and then gotta, yeah. Anyway, so. That's where I'm at. That's how I'm feeling it. That's how I believe it is. Now I'm just talking. Got like a homeless encampment. No, not just an encampment. Homeless row. I guess they chased some other people out of another area. You can see them up there cleaning up. I don't know if you probably can't see them. But they kind of cleaned up a corner up there. And there might have been an encampment. I think they may have chased them all out. So they came down this way. But now, this is like right there on the corner. And then trash builds up. And that becomes a problem. All these people have been out here for a while, and I see them when I walk by. Even speak to them, you know. Not know them, but, you know, you get to the point where you recognize them. That's the word. You recognize them. And you go from there. All right. So, swinging on y'all. Two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or in any atom that ever was, is, or will be. Did I say that right? Elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in any universe, that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all, theory of universe, hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.